Last year, the English newspaper The Observer asked comedian Steve Coogan to travel in the English countryside and review six acclaimed restaurants. Coogan invited along his friend Rob Brydon, also a comic. Because both men are stars in Britain and have a cult following in the U.S., their journey was turned into a six-part BBC series directed by Michael Winterbottom. That series has been edited into a feature film called The Trip. Our critic-at-large John Powers has seen it and says it not only made him laugh out loud, but got him thinking about the way movies have changed.
A few nights ago, I put on Warner Home Video's new Blu-ray of one of my favorite adventure films, The Man Who Would Be King. Based on a story by Kipling, this 1975 tale stars Michael Caine and Sean Connery as two roguish British soldiers who scam their way into taking over the country of Kafiristan. It's a terrific movie. And as it unfolded, I was struck that Caine and Connery have been part of my life since I was a kid. I could recognize their voices in my sleep. I'm hardly the only one. I was reminded of this when I saw The Trip, a hilarious new road movie starring two brilliant comics. One is Welshman Rob Brydon, whose vocal trick called Small Man in a Box is itself worth the price of admission. The other is Steve Coogan, an Englishman best known here for minor roles in movies like Tropic Thunder, but worshipped in Britain for creating Alan Partridge, an inept talk show host who's the hero of some of the funniest TV shows of all time. The Trip has no plot. It's just Coogan and Brydon driving around northern England eating at posh restaurants, mocking foodieism, and trying to one-up each other. Nowhere are they more competitive than in their dueling impersonations of the British actors they grew up with, Caine and Connery. Here, Brydon does the aging Caine, and Coogan tries to top him.
Right, so, Michael Caine's voice now, in the Batman movies, and in Harry Brown. I can't go fast because Michael Caine talks very, very slowly.
Right, this is how Michael Caine speaks. Michael Caine speaks to his nose like that. He gets very, very specific. It's very like that. When it gets loudly, it gets very loud indeed. It gets very specific. It's not quite nasal enough the way you're doing it, all right? You're not doing it the way he speaks. You're not doing it with the kind of... And you don't do the broken voice when it gets very emotional. When it gets very emotional indeed. She was only 16 years old. She was only 16. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. That's Michael Caine.
Now, in a way, The Trip is terribly up to date. In having Coogan and Brydon play heightened versions of themselves, it works the same fiction versus reality turf as the books of W.G. Zabold or shows like Jersey Shore. Yet what makes the movie a blast could hardly be more old-fashioned. The Trip harks back to when movies, still not far removed from vaudeville, showcased stars who were able to do acts. Chaplin and Keaton's immaculately tooled slapstick, Astaire and Rogers' ethereal gliding, or poor doomed Judy Garland singing audiences over the rainbow. Of course, mimicry is not the world's most exalted talent, but I would cheerfully spend a whole night watching Brydon and Coogan do their warring James Bonds. This isn't simply because I'm myself the world's worst mimic. I once reduced my sister Becky to hysterics with my hapless Howard Cosell, perhaps the all-time easiest person to impersonate. It's because good mimicry is kissed with the uncanny. Whether it's Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin or Jimmy Fallon's Neil Young, we hear the right voice coming from the wrong body. And in the process, we're shown something revelatory about the person being mimicked. The Trip got me to thinking about which of today's movie voices I can instantly hear in my mind's ear. Woody Allen, Clint Eastwood, Morgan Freeman. Which is to say, old guys like Connery and Caine. As for the young ones, can you hear Brad Pitt's voice right now? Or Angelina Jolie's? This year's Oscar winner Natalie Portman is a superb actress, but I can't remember what she sounds like as I can with Betty Davis, Lucille Ball, or Marilyn Monroe. Some of this is because movie stardom has changed. Hollywood once promoted stars whose selling point was a persona, an individualized, even eccentric style that played to working-class adults. Such style meant having trademark voices, accents, and locutions that instantly called up a whole universe of feeling, from Mae West's lewd growl to Jimmy Stewart's homespun decency. I told you I was a terrible mimic. In contrast, today's stars either work in movies for middle-class teens, where conformity is largely the rule, or take pride in being chameleons. Daniel Day-Lewis and Meryl Streep don't want to sound like themselves. That said, the major reason I can imagine Katharine Hepburn's voice, but not, say, Katherine Heigl's, is simple longevity. Today's stars have shorter shelf lives. Just ask Kevin Costner. Still, I can well imagine that 25 years from now, there will be another movie in which comics sit around the table and swap their impressions of grizzled old stars like George Clooney, Denzel Washington, and Leonardo DiCaprio. And if there is, I can promise you one thing. I'll pay to see it.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue and Vogue.com. You can see clips from The Trip on our website, freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer is Roberta Sherrod. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Joan Tui Westman, Sam Brigger, John Myers, John Sheehan, Lauren Krenzel, and Heidi Simon. Our show was directed today by Sue Spolin. I'm Terry Gross.